This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. It doesn't matter what today is. It's fucking patron day.
It's patron day. Hey, patrons.
Patron day. It's patron day.
Thank you so much for being patrons. We very much appreciate it. We have a show for you. I wanted to tell a story time before we got into everything. We have some funny stories here, but I wanted to tell a story about taking a class for driving. So I've been driving for, let's see, at this point it is 37 years.
Okay.
And I started driving. I learned how to drive. I've been in two accidents. Neither of them were my fault. There's somebody else hitting me. I never did anything wrong, like while behind the wheel, really.
We were in an accident together.
We were in a gas station together in your car.
In my car.
Yeah, but I've been in accidents while driving twice.
Yeah. Both it wasn't times, my fault when we were in my car, too. We got rear-ended at a stoplight.
Both times I've been in an accident, the other person ran into me. I was just like literally in my lane and they just ran into me. So nothing.
I am sorry about that.
Never did any of that. Never wrecked a car. Last time I got a ticket, I was living rurally in 2000. It was 2000, maybe six was the last time I got a ticket. I was going down a road in a car I wasn't used to driving. My wife had a different car than mine, and mine was kind of a piece of junk, and I was going a little too fast, and I got pulled over, and I had to pay the fine. And I think back then, they just gave you good behavior. They just said, yeah, good behavior. If you want to pay the fine, you'll pay a little extra, and it's good behavior.
Right.
You just go on your merry way. Well, fast forward to maybe 4 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, I'm driving rurally out here, and there's a city that you're driving through. We're going to like this place that's rural, and we're coming back through. And this city goes from 55 to 35 in like nothing.
Speed trap cities.
Like, boom, just like nothing.
America's full of speed trap cities like that, man.
And they got me. They got me. I was going 41 and a 30. Oh no, it was 44 and a 35 or something like that, or it was 47 and a 35, something like that. I was slowing down because I knew I had to slow down, but I slowed down too late and the guy got me, pulled me over, made me pull over. And he said, why were you going in such a hurry? I said, I don't think I was going too fast. And he said, no, you're going too fast. I'm giving you a ticket. I said, okay, great. We write a ticket. Writes a ticket. Ticket itself is expensive. It's a couple hundred dollars, almost $300.
Jesus Christ.
And I have to go to traffic school. And I was going fucking like 12 over. What do I got to go to fucking traffic? That's stupid.
It's required now?
Now it was required. And so I had to, and I was thinking to myself, I was very much considering going to court and saying, look, I'll pay your money, but don't make me sit in a fucking room for 4 hours for going 12 over on a rural road. Like, what the fuck is this?
And I haven't had a ticket in 16 years.
Yeah, I haven't had a ticket since I was fucking, like, since I was in my 20s. Like, what the fuck? But instead, I have to do it. So I send my ticket in, I plea, they send it back and they say, they have this list, it's a checklist. Can you go to class, list the times, the dates and the place that you want to go. So I list the times that I want to go. And the time is I want to go in the morning. And then I list the dates and I list all the dates. And then they say, where do you want to go? And they say, what's the most important? I'm like, time. I'd like to get it done in the morning because almost everything I do is at night. Like all my work stuff is at night. And I can always get out in the morning and go do something before I have to record a show or write for something. I can always do it. They give me fucking a Thursday night when we record. It's a Thursday night. And I call the place up because I have to move it now because I can't fucking do it. And I call the lady and I say, look, I can't do it. I work that night. And she says, well, you're actually qualified to do it online. And I said, oh, really? And she said, yeah, you could do it online. And I said, well, why don't you sign me up for online? And I thanked her. I was real nice on the phone. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. She sent me the stuff. I sit down yesterday to do it. I sat down at 10:30 in the morning. I did not finish until 5:30 at night.
Oh my fucking God. It what? Was,
and it's all of this entire thing is essentially a big, crazy, complicated PowerPoint where it stops. And you, if you move the window, like if I just move the window, it stops. You have to like start it back up again. And I have to hold my hand over the next button and click next every time. If you don't click next, it just stays there. And then it'll eventually log you out and you have to log back in.
Oh my God.
So you have to watch it, pay attention to it and interact with it the entire time. And it, and they say it's going to take 4 hours. It took me. It was like 7 hours to do this. It took forever. And it was the worst, most boring shit. But the one thing that made me the maddest was they were doing a dramatization.
Oh my God.
Where they get like this dramatization of this guy. He comes out of his house and he's all defrazzled. His hair is all fucking crazy. And he's trying to put a coat on and he's got a big bag of goods. And he's trying to get to his car and he's on a phone. And he's talking and he's having the businessman conversation of,
I love it.
You got it. No, there's no way we can't do any more overtime this month. No way we could do it. We've got to fit 24 hours into 12. We're just going to have to just do as, got to work as hard as we can. We just got to go. And then he starts to put his coat on. His wife hands him his coat and she's sitting there and he's like, hold on. I know I'm late. I'm coming in right now. And I'm thinking, you're the boss and you're saying you got to fucking 12 hours into 24 to 12 and you're late.
Yeah.
Fuck you, man. I was more mad about that than I was about anything else. I was furious. I was like, fuck this guy. And he hits a guy with a bike on the way to work. Fuck him. I was so mad.
But I would have watched that and been like, this guy doesn't apologize for being late to anybody. You know what time this meeting starts when I get here. That's God, what time man. It starts.
But let me tell you, I thought that I won the lottery when they said you could do it from home. No.
No.
It's terrible.
Lesson
it's
learned. Just, I'm going in person.
In person, at least you're in a classroom for a few minutes. They said it was a 4-hour classroom. I can't imagine they covered all the same stuff we did. It was 8 full sections. Each slide share thing had 70 slides on it. And it was just unbelievable.
Dude, that's insane. Oh, did you just take tests?
Yeah, so you had to take quizzes at the end. You had to get them all right or they made you do it again.
Oh my God.
Not the whole section, just the quiz.
Okay.
And then at the end, you had to take a test. And if you got anything wrong, you had to take the whole test again. I missed one question, but the question I missed is so infuriating. The question I missed was, they said, when you come to a train crossing, do you treat it like a regular intersection or differently? And I was like, differently. And they're like, no, you treat it like a regular intersection. I was like, no, you don't. That thing has right of way. You don't have right of way. I was like, what are you talking about? I got something I know I got right wrong. And then there was another one I had to look up while I was doing it. They had asked a question about, they said, when a police officer is on the side of the road and you pull over, that's called the get over law, move over law. Let them live law or something. I'm like, who fucking cares what it's called? What the fuck? Why should I care? I didn't write it. I'm not in the fucking House of Representatives. Why the fuck would I care what it's called? I know to get over.
Yeah, that's crazy. Get the fuck
Dude,
over.
There was 3 or 4 questions like that. Where they're like, what do you want to call this law? I don't care what it's called.
No, Cecil.
I know how to drive. Go fuck yourself.
I would have relinquished my driver's
At
license.
At the end of it, they asked if I learned anything. I said, no, I'm an excellent driver. And I hit some
Did you really?
I said, no,
good for you.
I'm an excellent driver.
You guys, here's what I love about this. There's a couple of things. One, it is easier to get a concealed carry permit than to pass this fucking driving test. That is just evident to me from your description and our concealed carry experience. But like, two, if there is anything Cecil prides himself on and is that pride is not misplaced, he is an outstanding fucking driver.
I think I'm a pretty good driver.
You're an outstanding driver. The only person I'm happy to be a passenger with is you. I'm like, I'll happily be a passenger. Happily. No problem. All the time. No, just, I don't even think, if we're going someplace, I don't even think about it. I'm like, yeah, Cecil's driving. I don't even think about it. I can't tell you how many times I've been like, oh, Cecil, I need you to drive this moving truck. I can drive the moving. I've driven moving trucks when you're not around.
That's true.
But like, I don't want to if you're going to do it.
Yeah,
I'm just like, yeah, you're better at this. here, you should just do it. You're just an excellent fucking driver. So the fact that you had to do this has to be so fucking galling.
The whole time. I was so galling.
If I were good at anything, I would not want to take a class. Yeah. Thankfully, I'm not good at anything.
Yeah.
So I don't have an analog, but like still.
You know the scene where in Goodfellas, and you probably don't remember the movie, but in Goodfellas, there's a scene where they're talking, there's a voiceover of the wife, and she says, the lady would invite the police officers in and she'd spit on her floor. She'd spit on her own floor. That's how I felt. I felt like I was going to spit on my own monitor. I was so mad. I was so angry the whole time. I was just furious.
Oh God, that's fucking awful.
So bad. It's the worst. I don't ever want to do that again. And now whenever I go through that town, I'm 6 miles under.
You're going to get out and push your car.
You're going to give me a ticket for going too slow.
All right. Speaking of going too slow, this story...
This story, you go whatever speed you want.
Yeah, right,
you
know what I mean? You can set it.
You go and set it and forget it.
This is from the Dallas Observer. Get off to the races. The writing for this title
is so good.
Get off to the races. The Whippersnappers Weekly Dildo Races create good vibes. The Whippersnapper is a bar.
They call it a buzzworthy.
You guys, the best part about this article is that this article is not a short two blurb article.
No, it's a long article.
You guys, there's serious reporting going on here. This article, there's a thing where you can play this article and it'll read it to you. It's like a 5 minute read.
Yeah.
About the, and there's nothing here. There's a dildo race at a bar. That's it. At one point they make a show being like, yeah, so there's a custom built dildo racetrack. And I thought like, well, of course it's custom built. What is there like some store full of dildo racetracks? Yeah. And you're like, no, I want a bespoke custom dildo racetrack. I'm not getting your fucking bullshit everyman Hasbro brand dildo racetrack.
Not for the Adam and Eve Open, you know. Absolutely not. What I love about this is they talk about how it came about, but then they talk about the dildo race itself. They say they're vibrators, and then they make sure to say that they're not used vibrators and that no one has ever used these in any other way except for to race them. And I'm like, sure, winky face, whatever you say. But they say you can choose from a selection. And then they said, there's two things that they said. One is they said, you know, you can select how much it vibrates. And right. There probably is some gamesmanship to decide how much it vibrates.
Because too much is just going to go much, circles not and much, shit. Probably.
Not work. Yeah. Too little might not work. There's probably got to be a sweet spot in there. Just like how a regular vibrator would work. But then they said that a lot of people, some people are
my
showing
my racetrack's
up.
Going numb. Turn it down.
As soon as it finishes, it immediately stops.
Right. Like, no, you overstimulated the racetrack.
Done. I'm done. That's it. But
can we go again? Not right away.
Not right away. You need a sandwich. No, but they said that some people get there a little early and like scope out the track. And I'm like, that's Heath Enright. I'm like, that is 100% Heath. Heath is going there. He's like, he's got like one of those surveyor things. He's got a plumb bob. He's like swinging it. He's got a fucking one of those fans just to see where the wind direction is. You know, 100%. No. He's like, again, in Casino, he's like the guy who knows how, like, what horse is going to come in first.
Heath is in front of the vibrator on the track with a little broom, like those fucking curling guys, just chuffing the fucking thing on. This really puts the wood in the Pinewood Derby, though.
Sure
you know?
Does. Like, sure does. Sure does.
Would you go? Would you go to a dildo race bar?
I would love to go to a dildo race bar. I think that would be a hoot.
I think this sounds hilarious. The only thing I'm like, I think I would like this. I think I would dislike almost all the people at the dildo race bar.
That's the thing is, like, I feel like I would enjoy it and I think it would be fun, but there's going to be too many people who are going to be way too into it and that's going to bother me.
Yeah, well, they said in the article too, they're like, yeah, people really like it. There's one guy who comes like every day. I'm like, yeah, of course there is. Of course there's the one guy who's like salivating over the fucking dildo races.
They'll have to close.
You're making it weird, Milton.
They close it down because there's a lube spill on the track. There's a yellow flag or whatever. They got the red flag or whatever it is to slow the race down.
The pit crew comes out and changes out the batteries mid-race, you know?
See how fast they could do it too, yeah, right? Oh, there's like four or five guys. One guy pops it open. Another one has the batteries ready to go. They just lay it down on the track and get it ready to move.
Go, go, go.
God, so funny.
It just sits there buzzing in place. God,
so funny, man. I think this is such a brilliant idea. Just a genuinely brilliant
idea. It's so
funny.
Oh. Makes me want to own a bar just so I could have gimmicks.
Gimmicky shit like this would be a
gimmicky shit would
do.
Be fucking great.
Yeah. Problem is
gimmicky shit for drunks? Are you kidding me?
And they're easy to please.
They are. Oh my God. I'm reading this whole thing.
Jesus.
Could Robert F. Kennedy get weirder?
No.
Could the world we're living in be weirder?
Why is this guy a presidential candidate? This is why. So this is one of those things. You know, you say you're part of you're in a coma or whatever. Every time I see this, I think there's somebody who's fucking with the simulation every time.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
When President Trump ex-President Trump does something crazy, I think that something. There's somebody who's fucking, somebody twisted a knob on the simulator.
Yep.
The same thing when this guy gets in the public eye. I'm like, somebody's twisting the wrong knob on the simulator.
Yeah. Every part of this story is more fucking stupid and insane. Like, I'm just going to read it to you. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says he left a dead bear in Central Park as a prank. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. once retrieved a bear that was killed by a motorist and left it in New York Central Park with a bicycle on top, sparking a mystery that consumed the city a decade ago. Kennedy described the 2014 incident in a video that was posted to social media Sunday, adding it would be included in a New Yorker article that he expected to be damaging. Real quick. How old is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
Let's look it up, Tom. We shouldn't be wrong about these things. It's pretty easy to know.
Yeah, okay. Guys, for context, he's 70, which means he pulled this prank when he was 60 years old.
At a spry young age.
He's a 60-year-old man pulling this shenanigans.
Wow.
Who is now like, I would like to be the leader of the free world. I will continue reading this, but just keep in mind, this prank, I'm not going to lie, Cecil. When I was 21, this prank would have been hilarious. I'd have done this all day.
When I was 19 to 24, that age range, I was doing like pranky sort of jokey trolly shit. That was, I thought, pretty harmless, but definitely on this level.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't kill a bear. He didn't either, but right. I wouldn't kill a bear. But one of the things that we did was we hid at the Riverwalk, which is in Naperville, and it was much smaller back then. We hid in the foliage these blow-up giraffes that we bought a bunch of. And we thought it was funny, and a bunch of people just found them and carried them around with them and walked around with these blow-up giraffes.
Yeah.
We thought it was funny.
The article was published Monday and included a photo of Kennedy with his fingers in the bear's bloodied mouth, a mock grimace on his face. His left pant leg appears to have a blood stain. It's the latest bizarre incident in Kennedy's Quixota campaign that has divided his famous family and left Republicans and Democrats alike concerned about his potential impact on the presidential contest. Kennedy has acknowledged a parasite that lodged in his brain and died. He denied eating a dog after a friend shared a photo with Vanity Fair magazine, showing Kennedy dramatically preparing to take a bite of a charred animal.
Have you ever denied eating a dog?
I've never had to, man. I've never been like, I have brain parasites. I didn't eat that dog.
I had this brain parasite and it totally starved to death.
In the video, Kennedy recounts the story to actress Roseanne Barr, because that's what's happening now. Roseanne is interviewing a Kennedy about a prank he told when he was 60.
Can't you find a bear somewhere? God, I hate that woman's voice so much.
Oh, she got terrible.
God, I hate her voice. Oh my God, I want to strangle
her. Her show, when it came out, was really funny. She turned into a right-wing nut job.
She turned into a crazy person.
He says he was heading to a falconry excursion with friends when a woman
Okay, no. Tom.
Yeah, man.
Have you literally—
Let's say weirder things.
Have you literally ever heard of a falconry excursion?
No.
I've never heard of that before. Well, and don't be wrong— kind of cool.
Look, no shade on falconeers.
Yeah.
You falconies.
Falcon.
Falconos. Whatever you guys call yourselves.
Hey, Falcono. Jesus.
I don't know, man.
Is that racist? I don't know. It might be.
I don't want to piss them off because I don't want someone fucking sending a falcon at
my
house.
I don't want a bird with a giant talons coming at
me. Like, I read the fucking Dark Tower series. I don't need that shit. That's not how I want to go out. Okay. So.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go with a lobstrosity.
I also think, like, we're reading a series of increasingly bizarre sentences.
They right? just keep getting weirder.
Like, oh yeah, so it's on my way to my falconry excursion. I says to Roseanne, I says. Okay, so when the woman driving ahead of him hit and killed a bear with her vehicle, he put it in his own vehicle intending to skin and eat the meat, but the day got away from him.
It does explain the brain parasites, though. So, now, you know what I mean?
Cecil, we have to keep talking.
Eating roadkill.
That if I put a dead bear in my trunk, first of all, that's a fucking weird thing to do.
It is.
Like, you're Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah. You're not short on cash for meat. You can go to the store and get a food. You don't have to fill your car with bloodied animal corpses. Bear doesn't even taste all that good anyway. But then, like, if I've got a trunk full of recently deceased bear, that's what I'm doing today. What do you mean the day got away from
I'm
you?
I'm sorry, I can't come to your falcon exhibition. I have a dead bear in my car.
What the fuck is happening? Do you also have a car full of falcons now?
If you, like, what, if you just, say what? If you say to another person on the planet, I can't make it to your falconry exhibition because I have a dead bear in my car, they hand you secret documents from another country.
For real, that's a code sentence.
It is.
That's not. Also, doesn't it make you immediately think about the huge falcon that killed the bear?
If you went there and you used it, you put it on your arm and he gave it to you.
Hey, I can't go to the falcon. I think he's fucking exhausted. He killed a bear. You see the size of my arm to hold this giant man. Falcon. All right.
You see the mask I have to put on the falcon so it doesn't get spooked or whatever.
Eventually, he says, he was in Manhattan and needed to get the bear carcass out of his vehicle.
You know, your what? Day gets away from you.
What is the length of time? You're driving around. You're like, oh, last week's dead bear carcass.
Jesus Christ, dude.
That's the smell in the car.
There's nothing worse than forgetting, you know, the meat in the car.
His friends, fueled by alcohol, concocted the Central Park plan as a prank, he said, adding he was not drunk himself. That doesn't make it better.
But also, like, what? The prank is that you're going to put him on a bike or bike underneath him and make it look like he was either riding the bike or got hit by the bike. What are you what kind of conversations do your friends have normally?
Dude, all your friends are drunk and they come up with this plan. You're sober and you're like, great plan. It's one thing to
good
be
thing
like,
is I can drive.
Hey, we got to be safe, all right?
Yeah.
Designated driver.
Designated driver.
Now let's get into Manhattan and drive. So then, at the time, bicycle accidents were getting significant media attention. So if Kennedy's friends thought it'd be funny to make it look like the bear was hit by a bicycle. So they put this bear in Central Park, but you've got to paint this picture. If you've been to Central Park, how the fuck do you carry a dead bear and a bicycle through Central Park without anybody being like, bro?
It's got to be late at night when it's closed. I imagine they close the park at a certain point.
Okay.
They probably close the entrances to the park at a certain point. You probably can't close the park itself.
Right.
But they probably close the entrances and I'm sure they patrol it in the evening. That's my guess. I don't know.
Okay. So you're sneaking around.
Yeah. I mean, this is clandestine
right.
bear.
Probably
clandestine.
Clandestine bear is the name of my ska band.
Clandestine bear comes on after Berenstain Bears, and he hands you the secret documents when you say the weird sentence. He winks.
You got to do the big exaggerated. Like again, like you've got like three of your drunk friends, and your bears aren't small. You're like carrying this bear corpse around, and it's fucking hit by a car, so it's like bloody and shitty, and like somebody else like, wait, I got this disposable bicycle just on me. This is a weird story, man. He wants to be the president.
And like, how do they pry this from him 10 years after?
Yeah, who got a hold of the picture 10 years later?
Who was asking around? And he was, the thing that they get into in this article was, he's talking to Roseanne and he says,
My fingerprints were all over that bicycle. I was so afraid. I was super afraid that my fingerprints were going to be all over the bicycle. Find me.
What the fuck, man? What,
like, also, like, the fingerprints on the bicycle, that made me laugh. Because, like, if your fingerprints are on stuff, that's nothing. Unless you've been arrested.
Unless you've done something where people know of your fingerprints.
Right. Like, if my fingerprints are all over something, that literally doesn't matter. There's nothing to compare them to.
Yeah, I don't have anything linking my fingerprints to me.
Yeah, I'm not like Cecil. I don't have this driving ticket where I've had... I'm not some fucking crime syndicate.
That's a criminal. Come on.
Everybody saw this if you watched any Olympic coverage at all.
Amazing.
This is from Variety. French pole vaulter's bulge cost him an Olympic medal.
It really does too. We're going to watch it. It's on Twitter, I think. Here we go. We're going to watch it. Oh, hold on. I got to go back. Here we go. Oh, man. Man, that, let me tell you, that fucking sea cucumber fucking slowed it down.
I'm just saying, I'd have cleared the bar. No problem.
Like a whistle. Like a whistle. That dude is packing a hog.
Let me tell you, he's
got a... Wow.
No wonder he's pole vaulting. He's got the pole
built in. Tell you, he sure does. Man, that dude's got a thick and meaty member, man. What is happening? That thing's like a baby arm. It's seriously, here's the thing. He hits that pole, it's bigger than the thing he vaults over.
Yeah,
like it's
true.
Like circumference wise.
Next up in the pole vault is Ron Jeremy.
It's fucking huge, man. It's so funny too, because the only thing that hits and the only thing that goes is this fucking schlong. Oh, man.
If you're going to lose the Olympics,
yeah, there's
at
no
least
better
show
way.
The world that you're sporting dong the whole
no
time.
There's no better way to lose the Olympics than to be like, yeah, no, sorry, my big dick got in the way. My gigantic fucking hog got in the way.
You're back in the Olympic Village. Somebody's like, oh, looks like you didn't win the Olympic medal. It's like, no, my dick was too big.
Actually, when they present them, they're going to hang it on it, and then they're going to take them off of there. Oh, man.
I got my own prize. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you, man. They would have the fucking... I wouldn't stop. I fucking market it at this point. I'd be like, no, man. Like, is there porn I can be in? Can we just have a... Put me in commercials now as the dong guy.
Yeah,
are you
right.
kidding me?
I'm Dirk Diggler. Are you fucking kidding
another
me?
Another thing you could be is like a body double dong guy.
Yeah, I know,
where
right?
Where when they need a guy who needs a big package, you could be that guy. You got a big old hog, man. You can stand in front of everybody.
It's so fucking funny.
He's got a fucking cucumber down his trousers. He's got an armadillo down there.
His dick hits the fucking bar. It shakes all the way down to his knee.
I know. It's like a fucking... You're incredulous when you watch. You're like, come on, really? You're like, that dude put a fucking rubber dick on his pants. There's no way he did. There's no way that's real. Man.
He was very excited
to
be in the Olympics.
What, he was. My goodness.
This is from Fox News. McDonald's employee sentenced to prison for setting dumpster fire because restaurant was too crowded.
He was in the manager trainee program. He's standing there. He looks around. Man, it's real busy here. And he walks out back and he lights the dumpster. And then the restaurant clears out and then he dusts his pants off. He, of course, took pictures of it before he...
Yeah.
You know, look, man, you could get away with this. You didn't try really hard to get away with this, did you?
This is why it was better to grow up in the 90s.
Yeah.
There was no evidence of anything.
Light a dumpster on fire and nobody cares.
Yeah, it's just a funny story you get to tell. It's not like somebody's got pictures of you and a dead bear in Central Park. Everything's fine. Well, all the crazy shit you do, it's like, yep, the only thing anyone has is memories.
Yeah,
of that.
It's only memories. This kid lights this garbage on fire.
He's going to prison.
And then he goes to jail. He's going to have to go to jail for like five years.
That's the crazy thing. He's getting sentenced to federal prison for 5 years. That I'm laughing, but that's egregious. It's a goddamn McDonald's dumpster.
Yeah.
That, like, you say, hey, don't do that again. That's what you do. You're fired at McDonald's. That's it.
If he burned anything else down, they don't say in the article that he did, but if he burned something else down, then yeah, of course. But if it literally just lit the garbage on fire and somebody had to come put it out, make him pay for the people who came put it out.
Sure.
You know, like charge him a fine, get him, you know, maybe make him do some community service, clean up a burned down house or something for a couple days.
He should be in like a little bit of trouble. 5 years of his life?
5 years in jail is a long time.
For a garbage at the McDonald's? What the shit is going on? What is happening? God, I'm so glad I grew up when I grew up.
Man, me too.
Because you could do some fucked up shit in the 90s. And like, for real, people would just be like, hey, don't do that again. You'd be like, yeah, right. That was kind of it.
When I was a kid, there was this weird guy who lived down the street. And he had, he was working at the motorcycle shop. And he had this bicycle. And he poured gasoline on the tires and he lit a door on fire to an abandoned building that was a metal door. He just threw like gas on it or whatever. And it didn't light on fire, I don't think. And he was driving with the wheels of his vehicle on fire. He's
driving. That's kind of awesome.
And the cop, not even kidding, the police station is literally a block away. And where the cops pull out in the back is, it's right, you could just see that there's something on fire and he got caught. My brother was with him and they both got sent to juvie for like a week.
Did they really?
Yeah, they both got sent to juvie for a week.
So they like actually like arrested him and processed him through the whole thing.
Yeah, my brother had to do a bunch of community service too. But again, sent him to juvie for a week, that's not as bad as whatever, you know, whatever, 5 years in a federal prison.
5 years. Dude, I had a friend, my friend Ryan, when I was growing up. And I mean, goddamn, dude, we were in, I know that this had to be junior high. This is junior high. He used to take a tennis ball and he would cut a hole in the tennis ball and then he would put lighter fluid or gasoline in it and then he would light it on fire and then he'd whack it with a baseball bat and it would like be like a little like flame meteor and it looked awesome. So he would get a whole bunch of tennis balls and we'd fill them full of whatever was in his dad's garage and we'd sit in like, there's a field behind his house and we would just be whacking these flaming tennis balls into the field behind like Ryan's house.
Yeah.
We did that because it was awesome and we never got in trouble because it was like 1992 and you could light parts of the world on fire.
And nobody called
and everybody was like, yeah, it's fine.
It's whatever, they're kids, let the kids play.
I don't even think Ryan's dad was mad at us. Like, I think he did get in trouble. Like, he wasn't allowed to do that anymore. But that was like kind of it, you know, it's like, hey man, somebody could have gotten hurt. And you're just like, all right, I guess we won't do awesome shit anymore. We thought that shit was awesome.
Oh yeah.
Cause it was kind of awesome.
Well, when you're a kid, you just, I mean, I think like maybe we needed supervision.
I don't know how Gen X survived at all. It's from The Guardian. Tourists rushed to save ice cream van washed out to sea in Cornwall.
Aw. Let's put this on. This is a sad story.
So all I wondered about the ice cream van was whether or not the Calliope music was still playing as it gently slowly floated off the sea.
It's getting blubbier and blubbier. And then it just sinks as it goes to the bottom. What's your go-to at an ice cream truck?
Okay, so I like those chocolate eclair things.
Oh, those are good. Yeah, those are solid. Yeah,
those. I don't like the strawberry one. The strawberry one tastes
I've never had that one.
Ass.
I never had that
one. The chocolate eclair one with like the crumbly bits.
Okay.
What about you?
Two things at an ice cream truck. Klondike bar if they have them.
What would you do for that?
Go to an ice cream truck.
Okay, yeah, fair. Yeah.
That's probably about it. Yeah. And then the other one that I like is just a straight up like King Cone.
Oh, King Cone's money, dude.
King Cone's great. It's a big ice cream. I'm gonna describe both of these in case you don't know. Like maybe you might not have these ice cream where you're from. A King Cone is essentially just a big sugar cone with ice cream down, and at the bottom of the sugar cone is a little bit of chocolate that they use to sort of plug the hole at the bottom of the the sugar cone, but it's filled with liquid or filled with ice cream. And then it's a swirl of chocolate vanilla. And then as you get to the top, it's covered in chocolate, like a hard chocolate with peanuts on it.
Yeah.
And it's like a one scoop ice cream cone, but the king cone's bigger than the drumstick. The drumstick's the small version.
That's right. Yeah.
The baby version, but the real sized one, the actual size one is the king cone. And that's what I would go with. And then a Klondike bar is essentially just vanilla ice cream with a dark chocolate shell on it. That's all it is.
Klondike
bar. I think it's like a milk chocolate.
Pretty
shell,
okay.
Actually.
Yeah. That's not a bad ice cream.
I like the Dove bars too. I think Dove bars are very good.
Those are good.
Dove bars are delicious.
That's a good ice cream.
So there's a couple of them that I think like there's some good ice cream like that you could just grab and go. I think there's some solid ones out there. Not as good as just like going to a place to get ice cream, of course. But
no, it's good. But it's fine. And if you're in Australia, you can get a Happy Gay Time. That is an ice cream called Happy Gay Time.
What is it?
I think it was like one of those, if I remember right, it's like the chocolate eclair ice cream, which is good. So if the chocolate eclair ice cream is like a stick, it's got ice cream around it in like a square shape. And then, and it's like usually like chocolate and vanilla kind of mixed together. And then it's got these crumbly little cookie bits around on the outside. And it's tasty.
Yeah,
that's
it's
a tasty little
those.
Ice cream.
Yeah, it's like dipped in those. The strawberry ones, you're right. I think I have had one of those. It kind of tastes like a zinger or something. It's not very good.
To me, it tastes like ice cream amoxicillin.
Yeah, it's not very
like it's
good.
Bad. It's no good.
What I like about this story is that this ice cream trucks, they go on low tide, they go out to the beach or whatever, and then a bunch of people sort of were in the way and it couldn't move. And then the tide starts coming in and it's like, guys, I gotta move. And its tire gets stuck. And then it starts floating out to sea and they tried to tie a rope on it to hold on to it. And it just didn't work.
Hey guys, fight the whole ocean.
At least this guy didn't get 5 years in prison for sinking his ice cream truck. You go get a job at McDonald's, you get fucking 5 years in prison for letting that shit on fire.
Hell.
Both of you got out of work for the day. One guy gets 5 years in prison.
That guy who got 5 years got robbled. He's going to be the Hamburglar.
Grimace is just leaning on this. What are you in here for?
You're Grimace's bitch.
What are you in here for? Unidentified new meat.
Okay. I've got a story to go with this. This is from WAFB9. Live crab found snapping at snacks in vending machine. The video is actually worth playing, Cecil, because it's fucking hilarious.
All right, so here we go.
The details make this story.
Crab can be pretty pricey, so you typically won't find it in a vending machine. But a live crab was actually discovered in a vending machine on the second floor of the Francis Building in downtown Sioux City. Take a
the
look.
The second floor Mesa, in Sioux City, Iowa. Somebody is spreading crabs.
I think it's a time traveling crab.
Are you sure it wasn't a TARDIS he was found in?
Photo showing the crab in the slot of the vending machine where the product typically falls after you buy it. Mesa said on Thursday, several people tried to get snacks from the vending machine, but something was snapping at them. Mesa said people thought there was a mouse in the machine.
Because mice snap at you?
Well, it's more probable than a fucking crab, Tom.
Okay, admittedly, I would not. My brain would not first go second floor of an office building in Iowa.
Must be a crab.
Probably a crab.
Yeah.
About the issue, and when Mesa showed up to check the machine this morning, he found the crab, which had died. Mesa then disposed of it. Strangely enough, another crab was found in the Sioux City Public Library earlier this week. The library and Francis Building are right next to each other in downtown Sioux City and are connected by a skywalk.
There's somebody going around Sioux City, Iowa, spreading crabs.
He made it out of the fucking
house. It's like, hold on, I'm going to go look for help. Stay here, Bill. I left you with Sun Chips.
So I've got a crustacean on the wild story or crustacean on the loose story for you. So when Haley and I were dating and she was flying back and forth from New York to Chicago, one time her flight got canceled. So she's supposed to fly in. I'm going to make something up on a Thursday. Her flight got canceled. I put her in a hotel near the airport. So I put her in a hotel in Queens. And so, because she was going to take the next ferry next morning, instead of driving all the way home, because she's from Poughkeepsie, so it was a long drive. Mm-hmm. So like, we'll just stay in Queens and then you can take the next flight out in the morning. So that was the plan. And she and I are talking and we're on like a video call as we were wont to do at the time. And she's standing outside the hotel smoking. And there's just crayfish walking or crayfishing or whatever down the sidewalk for like kind of a long time. Just somehow, somewhere in New York. Oh, probably 7 or 8 of them.
No shit.
Over the course of like a few hours as she's outside.
What room were they in?
It was the most bizarre. She's like, oh, there's another one. And they'd just be like, a crayfish just slowly like walking. We're in town, boys. We're going to paint the city red.
There's a bunch of crayfish. They all have cigarettes in one claw. Small, tiny little beer in the other.
And like, there's some backstory here.
Sure.
I love that shit where you just never get to find out.
You'll never know.
What the fuck? Why were just, it wasn't like they were all together. Just over the course of time, there'd just be like another crayfish. So they were getting loose somehow from something. Like this reminds me of like, speaking of like stories you never find out about. We had a friend who took a picture on a vacation and posted it to her Facebook years ago of just a turkey, like a butterball turkey that had washed up onto the beach. So she was just on vacation. There was a beach and there's just like a butterball turkey in the wrapper and everything that had just washed up onto the beach. And it's like, what's the life cycle of that grocery store turkey that it ends up washed up onto the beach?
There's one guy with a turkey trebuchet on the side. How far did it go? I don't know. I lost sight of it. I don't know where it went. It's got one of those fucking long eyeglass things.
Spyglass. Yar, tis turkeys as far as the eye can see.
I lost it. I did. I think it went underneath a bus full of ice cream.
The story comes from BBC. Man charged over theft of Bluey coins worth $400,000. Bluey is an Australian little kids television show. And like, when I read this story, I thought like, fucking Bluey coins are worth more than Bitcoin.
They're not.
No, each individual Bluey coin is worth $2. It's like,
Bitcoin's like $60,000.
Yeah, I know. Bitcoin is worth a whole lot more. We're like,
Bitcoin's worth a lot. I knew we were going to get a correction. The Bluey thing is so cute. I don't know if you've seen this. I've had to watch some of these because
I've never watched a Bluey.
So I've watched a friend of ours' daughter.
Yeah.
And she watches Bluey all the time. So when I watched her, like she just had it on TV. She's like, well, let's watch some Bluey together. And we watched it. And it's actually a really cute TV show.
That's
it's
what like everybody a, says. Like a really it's just sweet, like really
cute
adorable
TV show. It's very like, I mean, it's totally for kids. I'd never just like turn on a Bluey.
Right. Yeah.
But but while I was there, it was one of the least painful kid shows I've watched in a long time.
That's
felt
awesome.
Like, felt like there was adult stuff happening and the kids are just trying to learn how to deal with adult shit. Their
that's
adult
what everybody
world
says.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like they're moving and the kids are sad about it and they got to explain it to the kids. And I was like, all right, that's all right. I was like, that's good. Like that'll teach kids how to like what's happening in the world. I thought it was really adorable. What I think is extra adorable is that Australia likes it so much they made their money after it. I think that's so cute that they're like, dude, we made a cool thing. Let's make money. That's like, could you imagine if we printed a Simpsons book? It's the same thing, man.
It is.
They made a Bluey, but it's like supposed to be a real money.
Money, yeah.
It's like a real money, but it's also a collector item.
Right. Which means that like, it's a real money that is being sold and valued because it's also being collected for more than its like intended original currency value.
And the company lost a 750 kilogram, like over 1,000-pound pallet worth of this stuff.
How do you lose?
I always
1,000 pounds of anything.
It's like the fucking Johnny Cash song of the guy who fucking builds a fucking Chrysler with different parts, taking them out day by
one
day.
By
or
one, yeah.
Yeah, he's like fucking one piece at a time. He's carrying it home and he's built a weird ass Chrysler because it all fits together weird. It's the same thing. Like, how do you move fucking all the, what do you put it down? Do you have like a fucking pole vaulter size bulge when you leave the office every day?
Hey, is that, no, it's all natural.
Sorry, it's all natural.
It's all natural.
I gotta like make it to my pole vaulting practice.
Looks like 12 rolls of quarters. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know it does.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. That's, it's a curse. It's a curse that I'm have to bear.
It is. And no, I can't make change. I saw this and I thought it was so cute though that they have the money that's made.
It's adorable. It's
so
very
funny.
Australian.
It's super Australian. It's so funny. This is fair.
Look, if you're an Australian, you've got koala bears. That's kind of all you got. That's your whole thing. You know, like, so like now you got Bluey. Now you've got two cute
they
things.
They named it after like Bandit Bucks or something like that. Like after the dad. It's so amazing. Are they all, they're all dingoes or something too.
I think they're
like,
all dingoes.
They're all dingoes. Mm-hmm. They don't eat a single baby in the episode I saw either.
That's the season finale. That's a series finale. They just eat all the babies.
Eat all the babies. Yeah.
Kids show gets real fucking dark.
It's super dark after a while.
This is crazy. Sky News. Ex-CIA analyst Sue Miteri charged with spying for South Korea in exchange for luxury handbags.
That's fair. They're expensive. You know what I mean? Like, they're expensive.
They are super expensive.
That's expensive shit.
She got, like, Dolce & Gabbana shit and, like, Louis Vuitton shit. And I'm like, cool. Cool. But you could have also just gotten money. And then you can buy the things that you want. And that could be Louis Vuitton shit or not.
Or not.
Why are you in a weird barter system as a spy?
You know, like in the movies when they have a different price and they slide it across.
Yeah.
I wonder if they just like take a random bag and slide it across. It's like, is this okay?
Is
this? How's this Louis Vuitton bag?
Wouldn't you like open, like if I'm selling government secrets, you like hand me a bag, I'd be like, that better be full of stuff.
It better be full of Bluey coins.
Right. Fill that fucking thing full of some Bluey coins.
Oh, man. Either it's full of Bluey coins, you cut the junk off that pole vaulter. Either one. I want something.
I'm not carrying that thing around.
Yeah, it's a little heavy.
Jesus Christ.
I'd rather have it full of Bluey coins.
Never skip dick day.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for our patron show. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you next time, next month, and we're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.
Thanks for tuning in.
If you enjoyed the show, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/dissonancepod. Help us spread the word by sharing our content. Find us on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and Threads, all under the handle at dissonancepod. This show is CAN-credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm on their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org.